This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Thought with Carol and Tracy. This is Tracy. Carol's out today. And Kim Bergeron from Southern New Hampshire Kids. I always feel like I'm going to say that wrong, Kim. I got it right?
Yeah.
It's a mouthful. Is it filling in today for Carol? So welcome back. You can go to 107.7 WTPL or WTPLFM.com if you want to listen to us. But we are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester and Lakes region. And you can give us a call anytime at 866-823-1077. We would love to hear from you. And we have our next guest in the studio. We did promise two guests, but apparently one of them...
I'm shocked.
Chickened out a little bit. No, maybe she was just busy. So
Gucci,
that's okay.
Are you listening?
Gucci is not here. We would love to hear from Gucci sometime. We'll make her come in.
Yes.
But her father, Neville Pereira, did I say that correct, yes, is in. And Gucci is the owner of the Veranda Martini Bar and Grill. You can find them at verandagrill.com. That's G-R-I-L-L-E, so verandagrill.com. And Neville is definitely very involved in...
consulting.
In consulting. Yeah. So welcome, Neville.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
And tell us, tell us about the Veranda.
Veranda. Okay, well, thank you first for inviting us. It's
Absolutely.
Always a pleasure to come here and talk to everybody. Veranda is a new... we've had lots of restaurants in this town, and Veranda's a new concept, if you will. It's a martini bar. It's a new American cuisine with a lot of seafood. But most of all, you know, our menu is just a guideline. We like to cater to individual needs. So if you want something special, so long as we have the ingredients, we will do it for you.
One of my favorite places I went to was down in Boston one time, and I remember it specifically because, like, the owner came out. He's like, you know, we'll make you whatever you want. It was Italian,
that's right.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't have a good Italian accent. He's like, you tell me, what do you want?
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? Like, anything I want? And it's amazing to be able to just say, hey, what can you do with this, this, and this? And they put it together for
they
you.
Put it to you. Yeah.
Because you can't get that in a lot of places.
It's, you know, you can't be rigid when it comes to a menu when you're creating dishes.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is it's the customer. They're paying what they want. We got to give it to them. You know, if you come in and you say, I want a steak with chocolate sauce on it, you're getting chocolate sauce on the steak.
Well,
you know?
We just said
I'm coming
we
in tomorrow
chocolate.
To do that.
Yeah. You know? So we do whatever it takes. You know, there's the saying, you know, the customer's always right. We don't believe that the customer is always right, but we do believe that the customer is always the customer.
Uh-huh.
And that's far more important.
Right.
You know? So we live on that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So how long have you been, at your location? You're on Hanover Street.
Yes. We first created it for the previous owners, which was the Chateau restaurant. So its location, it's a landmark in Manchester.
So everybody knows where that is.
Everybody
sure.
knows where it is, but it's not the Chateau anymore. So, you know, it has some great history, which actually it was my first job when I came to the U.S. back in 83.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So there's a lot of history there. A lot of people know about the Chateau.
Yeah.
But it's no more. It's now the Veranda. It's new. It's improved. you know, there are questions about parking. There's actually a lot of parking. There's street parking on both sides of the street.
Right.
We have parking on the side. And then where the Saigon Market, the Asian market is, which is a very nice addition to the area and to Manchester, there's a big parking lot there. So we share that parking lot.
Oh, that's good.
So lots of free parking. And we tell a lot of our guests, you know, you're going to the Palace Theater, park at our place, come have dinner, enjoy yourselves there, and then walk down. It's a block away from the Palace Theater.
Oh.
Enjoy the show.
Location.
Yeah,
sure.
You don't have to worry about parking, you know.
Yep.
And then come back for a nightcap.
There you go.
A martini.
Dessert martinis. Our martinis are incredible. Gucci creates some really great recipes. So.
Yeah, I was looking at one of the photographs on your Facebook page.
Yeah.
They just look very... Tell us about some of your signature drinks.
Oh, my God. That one you got me because I'm not the expert. I'm not a mixologist in any way, but I look at them. I don't drink myself.
They certainly look beautiful.
Yes, they do. Definitely look beautiful. And I think the Veranda is the most popular one. I think it's a... It's a dirty martini, French dirty martini, but I could be wrong. I don't get involved. I apologize. I don't get involved in the
But you definitely mixology. Have a vast menu.
There's a huge menu for,
I mean, that's a martini
for martinis.
Yeah.
And again, it's just a guideline. They can create anything you want.
Right.
And sometimes it's nice. You tell the bartenders, make me something. You know, I like this, I like that. Mm-hmm. And they'll do it for you.
Yes.
You know, so.
And I think for the bartenders, for the chef, or you know, the people in the kitchen, just everybody, that must be fun to kind of keep you on your toes instead of just being in a rut and doing the same thing all the time. It must be fun to kind of get to be creative.
It's a lot of fun. And I, me personally, I work in the kitchen and I help the chefs and. Go through the quality control, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the aspects of our chefs, they taste everything before it goes out. It's so important. You could cook a dish for, 1,000 times, and you think, oh, I got this, and you put it out, and you forgot the salt, or you got the pepper, or you forgot the lemon, whatever it is. So you got to taste everything before it goes out.
Yeah.
That we make sure. That's a huge part of...
It's consistency.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you could easily forget an ingredient. So if you don't taste it, you don't know.
Right.
You know, so it's one of the prerequisites of cooking at Veranda. You've got to taste your food.
Mm-hmm.
You
That's know. Good.
So that would be a problem for me because I would be as big as a house. I was tasting everything with me.
Yeah. It's only a little. It's like we got this tiny little tasting spoons that we use. And it's just a taste. It gives you, it keeps you in check. And so you know that all the ingredients are in there.
Yeah. And that's quite the talent to be able to just taste something and know what you've left out or what you've missed or what it needs extra. I don't think I've acquired that skill.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, sounds good to me.
Yeah, sounds good.
A little more salt. It's always more salt.
Yeah. You know, we have a saying that we're in the business to make people happy. That's our business. And that's exactly what we do. We want people to be happy. That's first and foremost in everything we do.
To say, too, you know, I go onto the Facebook page and see, we were talking about the pictures and the plates. And certainly if you have your phone with you or you're by your computer, hop on there right now and see. And I've noticed the pictures that are on the Facebook page, I've been in to your restaurant, and they're plated just as beautifully. You know, I'm one, when I walk through a restaurant, I like to see everybody's table to see what they have on their on their table, right?
Ooh. So you're that person walking by me.
I am. I think my kids are always afraid that I'm going to ask, can I have a try right there? But it's plated beautifully. Like I said, if you look on the Facebook page, if people are on your Facebook page, you're going to be popping into your restaurant in the next day or two.
Yeah, the
your
foods
food
are
is
incredible.
So inviting. The presentation's beautiful.
Bold flavors. We believe in bold flavors. It's what we call in-your-face flavors.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be strong flavors.
Yeah, you know? Right. Because otherwise, you can make it at home.
You can make it at home.
You know,
you
got to
have very bold
flavors.
Yeah. You want it spicy, you're going to get it spicy. We don't use, talking about spicy, a lot of people would use the chili peppers, pepper flakes or something. We are huge on habaneros. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've tried habaneros. Habaneros tend to be very smooth. But it provides the heat. It doesn't burn your lips or burn you around your mouth. As you eat your food, you feel the heat afterwards.
Right. Yeah.
And it's very gratifying.
Yes.
You
know, yeah.
You're not going to be hurting.
So I'm gonna show you a list, and while you're looking at it briefly, I'll chat. So take a look at this list and these titles, and these are some of the things I was talking about earlier about different staples that aren't typical staples that should be. Do you use any of those condiments or sauces?
There's some weird names here.
I know, right? I couldn't even pronounce some of them, but I wondered if any of them stood out to you.
Not so much. These are very Asian type ingredients.
Yeah, so not really the right.
Middle Eastern, which is big, you know, a lot of Middle Eastern tahini and the za'atar. Those are more Middle
Eastern.
Are you
saying that much better than I do? I practiced it before we came on.
Yeah. they're more actually more Middle Eastern. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think too many people are familiar with that right now.
Right.
Yeah. All of these were pretty much. I was gonna say Greek to me.
Greek dishes are great, by the way.
You know,
Their oregano.
So they were kind of Greek to me. So I was just curious if they were, if anything stood out to you. So now you're talking about making people happy. That's kind of your number one goal. Tell us about some of the things that you do. I believe you say you do catering.
We cater in-house. We have a couple of function rooms, you know, up to about 100 people. And we have a couple that hold about anywhere from 25 to 50. So if you've got that small event you want us to cater to, we can do that very easily. Our prices are very affordable. And we can work with you on the menu. There's no set menu. We will work with you
that's
on that
and
price it accordingly.
Yeah.
We've also just started off-site catering.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I booked a wedding today in Epping. So, it's going to be in June. So it helps us increase our revenues. Helps bring
the
name
out too.
Yeah.
And so, who's doing it. Yeah.
Exactly. So, and recently we started doing Sunday breakfast.
Oh, good. Now, is that a menu or is that a buffet?
It's a menu. Okay. It's a menu.
All right. Sure.
It's doing very well.
Tell us some of the menu items on the breakfast.
It's a very simple menu. You get your bennies, your different bennies. Mm-hmm. You got your pancakes. You got your traditional fried eggs, your scrambled eggs, your large variety of omelets. We do crepes. Our crepes are really good.
Amazing.
Huge crepes, you know.
My husband's favorite. I can see a date in the near future.
I tell you, we do a bananas foster crepe. Oh, it's incredible.
Yum.
Incredible.
Yep.
And we cook the sauce right there.
That down.
You know, yeah, bananas foster crepe is good. You know, strawberries and cream, Nutella. Everybody loves the Nutella and bananas, you know. We do some savory ones, ham and cheese with asparagus. Crepes are great.
I know.
You know. They're so nice. You know, it's so French, but and we give you three big crepes with all our portions. So
any breakfast martinis?
I'm sure.
Well, we don't do the always do the martinis, but we do a $5 Bloody Mary and a $5 mimosa.
Okay.
So and
that's
good.
A little more reasonable, probably.
Yeah. We're trying to promote it as much as possible. And pretty soon we have the outdoor patio, which is one of the prettiest in the town. It's very nice, you know.
There is something about sitting downtown on a nice evening or afternoon and enjoying a beverage or dinner. I love it.
It's so nice. You know what I like about Hanover Street is Elm Street's great. We know that. But Elm Street's noisy.
Yeah,
it's
it
loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got the motorcycles. You got the loud cars. You got, you know, it's very nice on Hanover Street. Yeah. You know, all of Hanover Street is, it's a lot quieter and nicer, more pleasant.
Yeah.
You know, and
our
veranda, we don't have to wait for the city to approve because it's within our own boundaries. So we can open and close it anytime we want. It's really nice. Last year we developed a herb garden, which is really nice. We have all the herbs in that. So beautiful. And we use our herb garden.
Nice. I like
because
that.
Fresh herbs, those are one of the ingredients we are very proud of. We use fresh herbs, lots of garlic. There's no such thing as too much garlic.
Agreed.
And butter. Lots of
butter.
You can't forget those ingredients. You know, if you're on a diet.
Walk after.
You know, 15 minutes extra next day in the gym or whatever you have to do. But come in and enjoy a great meal, you know.
So when the patio opens, I want to say when the veranda opens at the veranda.
Yeah, it should be.
When the patio opens at the veranda, would you announce it on your Facebook page?
Yes,
probably?
It'll be on the Facebook. And this year we're going to do entertainment. You know, we didn't do it last year. It's expensive. You know, you have to get the copyrights, licensing, and et cetera. So we're biting the bullet this year, and we're going to do it. You know, I think it'll be pleasant.
There's a lot behind the scenes that people just don't know about.
It's true.
And you have pictures on your Facebook now. I mean, I'm looking back in October, and Gucci put a beautiful picture up there. The lighting, the seating.
Yes.
It's just, you know, you have the trees around that you put out there. It's just a beautiful setting.
Yeah, we're trying to do a lot of LED lighting. It's pretty. Yes. It's cost effective. It's modern. It gives you that nice flair. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So one thing I would love as you know, sometimes you have the names of the food that you guys are posting pictures of, but goodness, I think they should put it on for everything, because I'd be like taking up my iPad and my phone. Okay, I want this. What's this one called? This one.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, honestly, when people head on to the Facebook page and see the meals that you have on there, they're going to be there in no time at all. And what's one of your favorites, or a couple of your favorites? Maybe you and Gucci have your own signature dishes you put together, or one that you like to share with customers.
On our menu, we have a couple of very nice, actually three very nice. They're all good. What am I saying? Three. They're all good.
Only three.
Yeah. But the big sellers, the three. Yeah. We have a Sicilian haddock, which is fresh haddock. It's broiled, and it's topped with a Fra Diavolo sauce, which is a little bit on the spicy side. And we top it up with a little bit of Parmesan cheese, and it's served over a very creamy risotto. And sauteed spinach. Yeah. Layers. It's piled one on top of the other. Great layers. That is our biggest seller.
Really?
People love it. It's a big dish. Most people say, oh, I'm taking half of this home, but they end up eating it all. Which is okay. You
right,
know?
Yes.
We also do a lamb osso buco, which is very nice. This is a big lamb shank. We braise it. We cook it for about 3.5 hours. Comes out nice and tender, falls off the bone, with a very nice stew, which has hints of Greek and Italian herbs and spices in it. Very big, yeah.
Yeah, I'm seeing the picture right
now. Yeah, it's huge. It's huge.
Yes,
it's a big dish. Again, it's served over rice. One of our very good sellers. And lamb is one of those things. You either like it, or if you don't like lamb and you want to give it a shot, this is the dish to do it with.
Oh, good to know.
Because you
don't get
those strong lamb flavors, but you get the Greek and the Italian influences in there. And then we do a what we call a harvest chicken, which is chicken that's coated with crushed pecans and panko, and then served with a nice roux blanc, which is a red butter sauce, berry butter sauce. Great finish to this. It's not sweet. People think it's going to be sweet because it's berries. It's got a nice smooth texture to it and finishes off that dish very well, and served with a side of arugula with balsamic glaze, you know, another add-on to that. You know, arugula's great. It's very peppery. Mm-hmm. Nice taste to that.
So speaking of sweet, do you have any signature types of desserts?
Desserts, well, we...
Gotta talk about dessert.
Yeah. We do a nice tiramisu, which is really nice. We do a great carrot cake. We do a chocolate cake. Everybody loves chocolate, triple chocolate. A red velvet cake. We do a red velvet cheesecake, which is really nice.
I'm there.
Yeah.
Of course, there's always the chocolate martini.
There's always the chocolate martini. Always that.
Yeah.
But with desserts, you know, we try to keep it open because whatever's trending at the time, that's what we want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and we're looking at more and more companies that we can, we're investigating them now and checking them out to see the quality and affordability is huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, desserts can get very expensive, but we're looking at different desserts too. Yeah. You know?
Now, what are your hours now, and will they be changing as the warm weather comes? And...
No, we the only day we're closed is Mondays.
Okay.
We're open for breakfast from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sundays, and that includes a lunch menu too.
Oh, nice.
And our dinners are available too if somebody wants that. The ingredients are there, so we can do that.
Right.
And Tuesday through Friday, we open at 11, and we open right through till 11, 12, as long as there's people there, we're open.
So we come on down for lunch during the weekday and everything.
Great. I got to tell you, our lunches, you know, you got some traditional dishes there, like our French dip. Our French dip's to die for.
I love French dips. Yeah.
The key to a good French dip is the au jus.
Uh-huh.
If you don't have a good au jus, forget it. It's going to blow the dish. And our issue is we pay such special attention to it. Put some herbs in it, you know, we get the au jus in there, and it's amazing. You dip your bread, it absorbs that juice. Oh, it's
I'm drooling a little bit.
Yeah. And,
I need to walk an hour.
It is great. Yeah. No, you will be very satisfied.
Where are our samples, Neville? You didn't show up with any samples.
I know.
Today.
Gucci says, you know, normally we take samples. I said, no, we never take samples, you know?
We do need a Gucci here.
Yeah, I should have. We do a great Reuben. You know, a true Reuben has to be messy.
Yeah.
Really messy.
I have a dear friend, And she said the key to the best sandwich is that it needs to be dripping down your
absolutely
dripping down to your elbow.
You need a whole bunch of napkins, and that's what our Reubens are.
Yeah.
The juices just flow down your elbow.
It's
you know,
true.
And, it's very messy. We use a marble rye.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not overly toasted because you know when you eat toast and it's too toasted,
too, too crunchy.
It cuts the roof of your mouth.
Yeah,
and
this
is just right. So when you chew into it, you're getting all the layers, which is so nice. Mm. You know. So, yeah, and we do a hot ham and cheese, which is
like
great.
Do you do a big haddock sandwich as well?
Yes, we do a fried haddock sandwich, which is also very nice.
And
that's in our $5 menu.
You have a crazy menu. I wasn't sure if you still have that or if I remembered that right.
Yeah.
$5 menu and the food, the menu choices.
$5 menu, we do a
lunchtime
okay. only. It's a fried haddock sandwich. It comes with tartar sauce, french fries. We do an 8-ounce hamburger for $5, which also comes with french fries.
Isn't that
how do
crazy?
You do that?
I tell you, we shop around.
You can't
make McDonald's
for that.
I know you can't. And this is an 8-ounce burger with great french fries.
You guys need to get the word out about that.
Yeah.
That's
We do a nice mac and cheese. It's huge. You know, we believe that you come in for lunch, you enjoy your lunch. It will drive you to come in for dinner sometime, you know?
Yeah.
And also a huge thing, we do Tuesday through Thursday, we do buckashuck oysters.
Oh, yes.
No way you're going to find buckashuck oysters. How many oysters can you eat? 12?
I know.
18?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You
got to
chew them, too. This business of just swallowing them, is don't even bother. You got to chew it,
yeah? You have a lot of great choices, Neville.
Definitely.
You've done a great job.
Yeah. We go to Boston to get our seafood.
That's
so very fresh.
Very fresh, as much as possible. It's not always possible, but I go at least once or twice a week.
Yeah.
Go down to Starvis, which is one of the biggest fisheries down in Boston by the harbor.
Yeah.
They do about 1 million pounds of seafood a week.
Wow.
1 million pounds. Just,
it's
mind-blowing. Yeah, it is mind-blowing. You see the fresh tuna, the swordfish, the different types of fish, fish you've never heard of, seen it.
How is there anything left in the ocean?
You know, and this is one company in Boston.
Right.
There's probably 20, 30 of them in Boston alone.
Yeah.
So, you know, the ocean really provides us with a lot of food, you know. And once you go and see this 1 million pounds a week, that's a lot of food. A lot of seafood.
Very good.
So,
Tracy, we're going to be heading there soon.
Yes,
right?
Definitely. Yeah. Going to go have to have lunch there. Neville, thank you so much for coming and telling us about the Veranda Martina Bar and Grill. You guys are, I believe, at 201 Hanover Street.
That is correct. Yes.
And people can find you at verandagrill.com.
Yeah.
And on Facebook is where you guys keep most
absolutely.
Of your.
Absolutely. Yes, all the information. We keep that updated very well.
Yeah, definitely pass it on. Your ladies, I know it's going to be a great time for you to go out for a girls' night out.
Yep.
Super date. And actually, they were voted most romantic restaurant on
WMUR. That's right. Wow. Yes, just before Valentine's. Yeah.
And $5 menu, you can take all your kids out and not worry about your budget.
Yeah.
And
yep.
you covered it all.
We're covering it. You know, Manchester's growing. The food scene in Manchester is really developing. It's getting, it's the general public that's going to benefit from this. There's so many restaurants coming about.
I love seeing it grow.
Yeah. You know, it's nice. So it keeps us, all of us restaurants, it keeps us on our toes.
Yeah,
we
got to
produce, you know?
Yeah, you got to stand out.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
Well, it sounds like you guys are doing that.
And tell Gucci we said hi.
I will indeed.
Next time she'll have to be on with samples.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Well, it's great having you.
Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having us. Yeah. Thank you very much.
So you are listening to Food for Thought. We're going to go on a quick break. And when we come back, we will have MHP Untapped with Carl from Abel Ebenezer. It's been a while since we've spoken to him. So looking forward to hearing what's new. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse. It must be Thirsty Thursday because Food for Thought is about to pour you a liquid lunch with MHP Untapped. Hang out with us while we talk with brewers and beer movers and shakers, discuss New Hampshire beer culture and events, and answer calls to our studio live at 866-823-1077.
Welcome to the studio, Michael Hopley-Pierce with MHP Untapped. We love your intro.
I love my intro, too, and I know he's not listening, but thank you, Tony Wolf, for doing an amazing job with my intro. good buddy of mine from Florida now, Tony Wolf, has done all of my voiceover work, and he just knocked it out of the park with that one.
Yeah, it's really good.
Makes me want to dance.
Me too.
Now, you have an old friend of ours in the studio today. I'm going to let you introduce him.
I do. Joining us in the studio today is my man Carl from Abel Ebenezer Brewing Company.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we're kind of like mutual wingmen, I think. You know, one of us gets an opportunity to do something, and we're too scared to go by ourselves because we're both very fearful people.
True.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
And it's like, oh my God, can you come with me? Just don't wear the same dress, okay?
You go to the bathroom together too.
It's probably
the
more
energy he has.
I know, right?
I think it's probably it's more a byproduct of we feed off of one another's energy.
Yeah,
it's
great. Definitely
love it. Yeah.
Yeah. So just kind of for those who may not have listened to our show before, Michael has a few things going on.
I got a lot of things going on.
Leatherman's Limited, obviously, which is one of our favorite breweries, of course, next to Abel Ebenezer, hand in hand there. And you also have a podcast. I always want to say blog. I don't know why. A podcast that's on the radio.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about that and what you have going on, and then we'll kind of find out what's going on with Abel Ebenezer.
So we actually just celebrated our third anniversary at the Tap Handle Show on Tuesday, which was kind of funny. One of my listeners pointed it out to me. That's how much I've got going on right now that I didn't even realize I'd passed my third anniversary. So we're at 3 years. We're at episode about one. And between the Tap Handle Show, which we put out most of the time, and occasionally we'll put out a show called Hop Talks, the podcast, which is more of a forum. We'll bring three or four or five industry people together and toss around a couple of timely topics, whereas the Tap Handle Show is myself, my partner Seth Simone, and often what we call third chair, which is a guest host, and Carl's done that a dozen times probably. And then we'll focus on one brewer or one industry person and really dig into their story, how they got to where they are, where they're going, and then we'll make fun of some news items and talk about some current events, all in a very non-PG fashion.
Well, so it's funny you say that because I would like to do that with both of you guys today because I don't think we've talked about your story in a long time, about really how you started that. And I know, Carl, you have a really interesting story about how Abel Ebenezer kind of was started too and the history behind that. So I would love to hear about
that.
A lot
of people find it interesting.
I do. I find it inspiring. Honestly, when we were piecing together our business plan, I didn't want to do what you did because you had done that and I don't want to copy, but I wanted to emulate your methodology because I think the way that you attack things is very effective, and I admire it. And I think the way that you guys approached having a storytelling aspect as an essential brand component, I think, is something that a lot of people in our industry, frankly, miss the boat on. And I think it's tragic because it is beer and conversation and beer. And if it's a conversation around the beer, then it reinforces the brand.
And there's so much, there's so many, microbreweries and craft breweries and all that popping up that you kind of have to do something to stand out a little bit. And yeah, I think you guys do that effectively.
It's a necessity. It's kind of like the restaurant industry now where, how many restaurants are there? You need to have something that makes you stand out so that when, a consumable product like beer, I think we have the benefit right now in the market where beer is culturally relevant. So people are actively seeking it out. But when there's so much noise in the market, you really need something that's going to gather somebody's attention. But it's not just getting their attention the first time. It's what's going to keep you or keep them as a loyal consumer of your brand over and over and over again. Because one thing that's infamous in the craft beer industry is that everybody's willing to try something once. But it's how do you get them to try it over and over and over again and commit to it as their loyal brand? And obviously a huge component of that is quality of the product and consistency of the product, which has been our sole focus over the last 2.5 years. But if you think about beer as a product, it's not just a product in itself. It's a catalyst to a good time. It's supposed to be consumed in conjunction with an experience. And I think that's what makes brewing fun and building a brewery fun is that you can make that experience whatever you want. And for us, when we were in the military, it was drinking craft beer and telling stories, whether they were, exaggerated stories, like made up stories, But, I mean, the running joke now at VFWs is a bunch of old guys sitting around telling their lies, because the further you get away from the military, the more exuberant and lavish your stories become.
I was hanging out with Sherman this one time, right? We were in a foxhole, and I was telling him, this is how I would handle
it. Around telling your lies, and so that's kind of what we're doing, is sitting around drinking beer and telling stories with with all of our customers.
Now, I don't think I remember that you, what service were you in?
I was in the Army.
I mean, you were in there. I was in the Marine Corps. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah,
I
that's
not
right.
I remember that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I got kicked out of the Boy Scouts.
I can see that.
And you, Kim?
Oh, no.
So go ahead and tell us a little bit about, how you got from drinking beer
telling stories.
In the Marine Corps, telling stories, to starting your own brewery.
I'm trying to think of where to start from. When I got back from overseas, I went to my first like real brew festival. It was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Went with a bunch of lieutenant buddies, and it was at a casino in Albuquerque. And I think it was at that event that it just kind of fell in love. I mean, I already loved craft beer, but I kind of fell in love with just the people, the vibe, the energy. And I was getting, coming back from overseas. I was entering the last year in service, and I was starting to think about what I wanted to do when I got out. And I was like, this is what I want to do. I learned very quickly. It's very difficult to get a job at a brewery because everybody wants one. It's very difficult to go and get the education. That's why so many brewers are self-taught. There's not a lot of schools that offer it. I even looked into seeing if the GI Bill would pay for brewmaster school at UC Davis, which was a no-go.
Good try.
But, I mean, that eventually just led to me moving up here. New Hampshire was a place that I really wanted to move to, and I was able to get a job at a biotech company because I have a background in sciences. And you think about beer brewing is really the earliest form of biotechnology.
Well, second earliest.
I spent my weeks, commuting down to Boston, working at the facility, and my weekends brewing in the garage. And after 3 years of accumulating equipment that our engineering and facilities department kept coding out and, messing things up enough time until I got them right, me and my buddy Mike felt comfortable enough to make a go at it.
And you've been really successful at it. You guys have a really great location down there.
So far, yeah. I mean, the location's terrible if you think about, like, relocations. But the amount of people, say it all the time now, I'm blown away by how many people drive up to a random industrial park in Merrimack to drink in a warehouse, which is, when I say that at our bar, people are like, oh, we are in a warehouse. But, we really have become kind of a local bar. And we really have been embraced by the community as their local brewer, which was really the goal. Yeah.
And that's what I mean by great location, because it's not about the building that you're in or what's around you. It's about the feeling and the atmosphere that you have when you're in there with friends and all of that stuff. And you guys have just done a really good job of that. It's a place that you really want to go and hang out.
And people do every day. I'm still surprised by it. But I mean, it's a lot. We have a lot of fun with it. And, we really just, I tell people all we do is unlock the door. And I think it's the customers that really... I mean, Mike put a lot of work into selecting paint to put up on the walls, and he did a really good job with the decor and mapping everything. So it is a beautiful room.
He's so West Coast.
No, he's great with the aesthetics. But I really think it's the customers that make it such a warm, inviting place. And
they made it their own. It sounds like
It's like everybody in Merrimack's man cave. Just
that's what it sounds like.
But women are welcome.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Women like hanging out in men's.
Women are preferred.
Now, when did you open?
We opened in June of 2014.
Great.
And what do you have coming up new? Anything?
Kilgore, our coffee porter, comes out next month. Actually, on March 17th. That's
a good day for it.
It's a beer that we designed in conjunction with A&E Roastery down in Amherst. We use their Papua New Guinea roast coffee. So, whenever we're designing new beers, it's kind of cool anytime we can collaborate with other small businesses, and A&E has been great. At a brewery, you get your sampling of beers, and, we call it a beer flight. If you go to a coffee roaster, they have something similar. It's called a coffee cupping. I didn't know that, but I learned so much about coffee, when we were developing that beer. It's been a lot of fun. It's actually surprising how similar beer brewing and coffee brewing is, but...
We had somebody come on once and tell us all. I had never heard of cupping either, but tell us all about. There's a lot involved in learning how to taste coffee and everything too. It's very.
Yeah, when you're done with a beer flight, you're ready to relax. When you're done with a coffee cupping, you want to take on the world.
I'm going to go reorganize my last 7 years of paychecks right now.
Quick story real quick. My son was volunteering over at Girls at Work yesterday, and she gave him some cash to go get some lunch, and he went over to
Thirsty Moose.
Thirsty Moose, thank you. Yes. Walked over to Thirsty Moose to get some lunch, and he ordered the Americano, which he just thought was like a coffee latte or something. Oh. And it was a tiny little shot of espresso. And he's like, oh, where's the rest of the drink? And he said he drank it. And he said he was bouncing off the walls. He's 15.
Yeah. He got a lot of work done, right?
Yeah, he did, actually.
Mom, I think I need a coffee maker for my room.
So we're going to actually go on a quick break. When we come back, I want to see what you have coming up new from Leatherman's. All right, so you're listening to Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy. This is Tracy, and Kim is filling in for Carol today. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Tracy, this is Tracy. Carol's out today. Kim is in for Carol. And in the studio right now, if you are just tuning in, our MHP from MHP Untapped, Michael Hoppo Pierce from Leatherman's Limited, that's a mouthful, and also Carl Soderberg from Abel Ebenezer. And so we were just kind of hearing how Carl got started with Abel Ebenezer, and we haven't heard your story in a while. So give us a little bit of background about Leatherman's Limited, and please, please tell us about this amazing beer that we got to sample during the break.
So in front of you right now is a beer that is brand new today, and I should not call it product because, as Doc Jones reminded me, we do not make product. We make beer. Thank you, John Kimmick. What we're drinking right now is called Paint That Hit Gold, and this is a traditional Belgian Saison. With a little bit more than a hint of lemon peel in it. Easy, refreshing. It's the perfect beer for as the snow recedes in the backyard.
I was going to say, it makes me want summer. Yeah. I'm like ready for summer right now.
So this is a test. We did 10 gallons of this. I'll put this on tap today, and it probably will not last through the afternoon. We might still have it tomorrow, but 10-gallon batches, usually they're come and gone the same day they go on tap. But as a proof of concept, I think this was a really good idea. This was actually our assistant brewer, Dropkick, my friend Sharon, who helps us out quite frequently. This was actually a collaboration between she and Doc Jones. Everybody's got a nickname in the brewery. If you don't know what your nickname is, you probably don't want to. So. But her first time into the brewery, she didn't know what to do because we were brewing and not giving her direction. So she just took care of making sure there was always music. And she played the entire catalog of Dropkick Murphys for an 8-hour brew session.
That's so funny.
Thusly was dubbed Dropkick.
Oh, my goodness. Gosh. There you go. You never know how you're going to get a name, right?
So we started as a brewery kind of out of not even really the ashes of a band, but we were a hip-hop group before we were a brewery, which, of course, if you've met us.
Which I find very hard to believe.
And if you met my partner, you'd find it even harder to believe. But we were a hip-hop group. We had no intentions of doing anything besides hanging out in the garage and writing a critically Caucasian, overly intellectualized libertarian hip-hop. Which, surprisingly, there was not as much of a niche as I envisioned. We wrote a song called Motor City about the decline of Detroit as a result of union influence. We wrote a song about the banks melting down due to subprime mortgages. We wrote a song about diminishing personal freedom and used the hook from No Sunshine by Bill Withers, kind of making the woman personal freedom instead of an actual woman. So it was just heady stuff, and it... So anyway, we did that for
a couple of years.
If anyone's looking for it, I'm probably going to catch flack from Doc Jones for this, but you can find it on iCompositions.com and look for Litherman's Load. Really garagey stuff, most of it done on really simple rudimentary equipment, especially the early stuff. We had a lot of fun, and we found that we were not only drinking beer, but talking about beer and eventually talking about making beer. And my partner had been making
She's
beer
writing
for
it
a
down
long
right
time.
Now. I'm just letting you know.
And he lent me some homebrew equipment and gave me some ingredients, and I made a at best mediocre homebrew, but realized that it was something that with a little practice I could be much better at. And we started brewing separately and comparing notes, and then started pooling up to get ingredients together, and then doing 10-gallon extract batches, and then decided we were going to go to all grain brewing, and we did that and sort of exploded from there, and took the next 4 or 5 years just working out the kinks in our system, brewing 2 batches at a time back to back on a Saturday, usually netting about 30 gallons a weekend.
And when you say exploded, like... Yeah. It really exploded. You have done a lot of brews.
And a lot of what we've done have been older recipes, but then some of them have not been. So we play with a lot of ideas. We play with a lot of IPAs, and we play with a lot of Belgian stuff, especially but not exclusively Saisons. And then we'll always have something else on tap. Usually we have 8 or 10 beers on tap. Usually there'll be 3 or 4 hoppy beers, 3 or 4 Belgian beers, and then a couple of others. So today I actually have 1, 2, 3 IPAs, 3 Saisons, a stout, a Belgian triple, and a pale ale on tap today.
So
and an Imperial Red.
If anyone wants to try this paint that hit gold, they need to get there today.
I would suggest that.
Yeah. Go try it, listeners.
It'll be back, but I can't promise when. So our catchphrase is, how much can you carry, which comes from our original band name, which was Litherman's Load, which is an archaic phrase for carrying too much. Litherman was a lazy man in some regions of England. So it's kind of like when you go to the grocery store and you get all your groceries and you get home, and instead of taking 3 trips into the house like a sensible human being, you try to do it all in one load.
You saw me?
That's me too.
Everyone does this. Shoot. That's the thing. It's in every man's load.
Right. It's true.
And then like, how do I close the garage door with my hands?
And it
all
takes
full
more and effort than if you'd broken it into a couple of sensible loads.
Right. And got some more exercise doing it.
So that was kind of where we were coming from, was we thought that by recording a couple of times a month that we were carrying this huge Litherman's load. And in retrospect, now that we have, you know, this building business and all the ancillary stuff associated with it, it's funny what you think is more than you can do is often so much less than what you can do. And how much you can really carry is so relative to where you are.
Yeah.
You made that statement happen in your life. That's for sure.
That was deep, Michael.
Yeah, I know.
Deep thoughts by MHP.
All right, so what do either of you have coming up around the bend? Any events or...
How many events?
When's your Kilgore release is 317? Is that brewery
317, it's definitely at the brewery. I don't know exactly where it'll be on draft at, but it will be on draft. And, we've used Kilgore as our spring rotator in years past, but this year we're adding it to our full-time offering year-round, and we'll start developing a new spring beer. Outside of Homecoming, which is our pumpkin ale, Kilgore was the most popular rotator, so it... You know, even though it is a rotator, it is a beer that we can make all year round. Homecoming, we can't because the pumpkins are only harvested one time of the year. Kilgore becomes a full-time brand as of March 17th.
Sorry, just a little beer coming back to haunt me there. I'm good.
How about you, Michael?
I got a bunch of stuff. So I got 2 new beers going live today. I've got Paint That Hit Gold, and I also have a very small batch IPA. I'm trying to remember what we named that beer. I'm drawing a blank on it. Right? I think I just sent a text of it. I don't have my iPad. I left my iPad someplace earlier today. We have a brand new IPA, a New England style IPA, actually going live, I believe, next week, possibly the week after that. And that is Misguided Angel. And that is going to be 7.2% pale, super tropical, fruity, dank up front, not very bitter, really, really silky mouthfeel.
That one does sound good.
And that will be coming out in a couple of weeks. And then our sour program is actually coming forward quite well. And I anticipate within the next 30 days or so, we will have a large batch of something interesting and sour to go on tap as well. So we've got 4 or 5 new beers planned for the next 4 or 5 weeks. We also have a Flight Center beer pairing dinner with my buddy Seth Simone at the Flight Center. That's on 3/7, which is Tuesday of next week. You can get tickets at beerfests, that's plural, beerfests.com. There's still a few tickets left.
And that's down in Nashua.
In Nashua, and that looks amazing. I helped them pair up the menu on that. So it's going to be Low Country Shrimp and Grits with Tasso. We're going to have a chocolate bacon stout creme brulee. I mean, just decadence.
And tell us where to get tickets again.
At beerfests.com. And then on 4/11, we're doing a tap handle show takeover where it will be Abel Ebenezer, Litherman's Limited, Oddball Brewing Company, Flying Goose, and Neighborhood Brewing Company, each contributing 1 beer, which the amazing chefs under Zach at the Tap House are going to pair up with 1 course, and that's on 4/11. I don't believe tickets are on sale yet, but if you are a Facebooker, you can either go to the Tap Handle Show's Facebook or Litherman's Facebook or the Tap House Grill's Facebook, and we should have a post up. It's probably going to be on Eventbrite within the next couple of days.
Excellent.
And there's a new episode of the Tap Handle Show just out today with Burt Bingle, maybe one of the funniest we've done in a long time.
All right, so they can check that out on
thetaphandleshow.com or on iTunes.
Thank you. So thank you guys for coming. We love having you, Michael, and we love all your guests that you bring. Kim, thanks for filling in today.
Thank you.
Great show. Up next is Kale & Company. You've been listening to Food for Thought. This is Tracy. Have a wonderful day.